Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week, and in this edition we talk to Stephen Kreit, a partner with accounting firm Eisner Amper, about the firm's sixth annual Concerns About Risk Confronting Corporate Boards survey. The findings illustrate a gap between knowledge of risk and acting upon it, as well as how certain risks seem to fade over time. For example, the number of board members concerned about disaster recovery has dropped every year since Hurricane Sandy. Cybersecurity, reputation risk, and the perils of social media all take prominent places on the list of what's keeping directors up at night. That tally of risks and what directors are worried about hasn't changed much since the last survey. What is important is the gap between that knowledge and acting upon the issues inherent in those risks. We asked Kreit to elaborate.
It's interesting that there's a lot of awareness of some of these risks, certainly around cybersecurity, social media, and regulatory compliance, some of the other areas when you look at the survey. But when you start to look at some of the questions, there's not a lot of action going on. So one of the questions talks about, or one of the responses talks about, that half the boards that responded, or half the board members that responded, says their boards have plans in place to address a crisis. But when you look further down in that same question, only about 20% of the boards have provided training to execute a plan. So, it's nice to have something in place and something on paper, but if your employees or the people who need to handle it haven't been trained, if your plans haven't been tested, you don't know if it's going to work when the issue arises or when the crisis arises.
The survey notes that while companies are beginning to take proper steps to prepare for a reputational crisis by having plans in place, providing training, and employing an internal audit function, fewer than 50% of the respondents felt that they were well-versed in the issues. A general theme and broad concern was reputation risk. What specific issues are there, and what are boards doing or not doing to address it?
Reputation risk, in my mind, is a culmination, really, of a lot of other risks that are out there. So I mentioned before cybersecurity, social media, product risk, regulatory compliance, disaster recovery. All of these are specific risks that could be addressed with different plans and different people involved in those plans. But they all could affect a company's reputation. As we've seen plenty of times with some of the hacking that's gone on and people losing or companies losing data, how much it affects a company's reputation. Target, which is at this point a couple of years old already, that story, but that had a significant effect on Target's revenues. It had a significant effect on their earnings for the period and for a few periods after that. So all these risks, all these things, different risks, will affect your reputation and at the end of the day, affect the bottom line. So you also asked about what are boards doing. So, I would say that some risks, boards are getting better at or getting better at addressing. The audit committee of the board or the entire board is much more focused on regulatory compliance risk. They're much more focused on fraud risk. They are hiring either beefing up their internal staff or they're hiring outside consultants to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to address these risks. And part of it is because I think that that's where a lot of board members are very comfortable and understand the risks that are out there. So they could help put a plan in place and then help get the right people in place to kind of mitigate those risks and execute any plans. Boards have also had a lot more discussion around cybersecurity risk. I think that over the last couple of years, there's been much more discussion at the board level. That's what I've seen with a lot of the companies I work with, that they're talking about it more, though that's certainly cybersecurity and social media. is an area where, you know, while they may be talking about it, they may be that's certainly an area, as I mentioned before, there's a lot less action going on to address those things.
Social media and cybersecurity are flagged as specific risks. How do they connect to this theme of reputation risk?
Cybersecurity, to me, cybersecurity is so much more prevalent an issue now than it was a number of years ago, and you see it in the news all the time. And I talked about Target before, and there have been banks, and there's so many different examples of data being lost by companies or hackers being able to get in and get access to companies' data. And every time that happens, it's a hit to a reputation of the company, and in my mind, it affects the bottom line, sometimes short-term, sometimes longer-term, but in my mind, it always affects the bottom line. One of the risks with cybersecurity, as companies, get more out there in different avenues. So, a good example of that is a bank that all of a sudden, you could do your online banking from your phone, from your iPhone or whatever smartphone you have. And it's interesting to me that, the companies might have these great cybersecurity controls within their company, but then they let this other software kind of get in through their system, through their cell phone, through the cell phones of their customers or anything else, and there ends up being a leak in there, or the security is not as great around that software, and that's where some of the hackers could sometimes get in. But I think companies need to be a lot more diligent in that area, and I think that cybersecurity is certainly a big hit to reputation, or causes a reputation hit. Social media, on the other hand, in my mind, exacerbates the risk or exacerbates the hit to the reputation. The news cycle is so much faster today than it ever was before. And within an hour or within minutes sometimes of something happening, it's all over Twitter. And it's just amazing. It's amazing how, you hear stories about people going on a trip and sitting on an airplane, and there's a problem, and they're sitting on the tarmac for a couple of hours, and people are on their phones on the tarmac tweeting about what a bad job JetBlue did or Delta did or whoever the airline did, because they're not giving them any water and the bathrooms are not working or whatever the case may be. But it's just amazing how fast this information gets out there and how quickly these things could really hurt a company's reputation. And again, hurt your reputation, hurt your bottom line.
The results indicate that boards do not feel or have a depth of understanding of the potential impact and harm social media can have, perhaps quite rapidly, on a company's reputation. How are boards addressing cyber risk and this particular risk, and what more could they be doing?
I mentioned before that companies, I think, companies are certainly beefing up their cybersecurity controls. I think boards are having much more discussion about the risks that are out there. But I think that the area where more could be done is testing of these plans, testing of these controls. So there's a couple of different ways that could be done. You could hire an internal audit function. Internal audit is a great function for companies to go out there and test somebody operational issues or operational risks that might be out there, in a company. A lot of times, especially public companies, they hear internal audit and they think about, okay, what are the controls around financial reporting? Under SOX 404, there's all those requirements for that. But they miss the piece about, what about the operations? If you have some vulnerabilities within the operations, having internal audit department that could go out there and test those vulnerabilities, test the responses to those vulnerabilities, that's a great way to mitigate some of these risks. And generally, internal audit or even outsourced internal audit, so engaging other organizations that could be your internal auditors, those internal audit functions report directly to the board in a good, you know, when on a good organization chart, that's how it works. So the board is giving them direction. The board is pointing them to where the risks are and telling them where to test it. And I think, you know, I keep getting to, I mentioned before, and the report mentions a lot, is the, you know, there's a lot of discussion, but that next step, getting people in there to take action, getting that internal audit department in place to test some of the operational risks within the company. You know, that's certainly an area. I would say another area, you know, especially around cybersecurity, is penetration testing. I think that, you know, you could hire companies to try to penetrate your software, penetrate your systems, and find, you know, see how secure you are against hacking and where some of the risks are. And that's a great area that boards could, you know, if the CEO comes into a board meeting and says, look, we got this great plan in place, we put these great controls in place, you know, we are hack-proof. You know, the board has to ask the simple question, well, did you test the plan? And my guess is the CEO will either say, yes, we have, or what a wonderful idea, we will get right on it. I mean, I just think that that's things that boards could push, that boards could easily push to have companies do more in that regard.
Digging into the social media landscape a bit more, we asked him what the recommended response times for different social media platforms tell us. The study looked at those response times by social media platform. What challenges are there, and what are the responses? Are they adequate?
The response times was an interesting stat that we uncovered when writing our research report. So just for those in the audience who don't have it in front of them, you know, Twitter, you know, the response time, you know, for different media, you know, Twitter could be, you know, minutes up to a couple of hours, Facebook up to 12 hours, blogs up to 24 hours, and then mainstream media 1 to 2 days. Well, if you go back 10 years before there was, you know, much use of Twitter and Facebook and blogs, everything was 1 to 2 days. So you had time to react to anything that happens, any crisis within the company. There's time to get ahead of it. There's time to build your story, to go out to the press and talk to the mainstream media so that you're ahead of it as opposed to behind it. I think what we found now over the last number of years is, as you know, Twitter and blogs and Facebook and Snapchat and, you know, all these other great social media platforms have come about, it's all about speed. It's all about getting ahead of your story. It's all about having a plan in place and immediately reacting the right way. There's a lot of collateral damage that comes with not getting ahead of getting ahead of these. So, in my mind, this all comes down to speed. You got to be fast. You know, people will be tweeting about it within minutes, so you really have to be fast. I also think that boards don't understand it. You know, listen, I'm 49 years old. I'm on Twitter. I actually tweet. I'm probably in the minority for my age group, and as you know, you look at age groups older than me, I would think that you know, the amount of people who are on it or understand it drastically reduces as the age goes up. So, you know, when you look at board members and you look at the makeup of a lot of boards, you know, I would say that it's made up of a lot of people who are older, you know, an older generation of people. Not, you know, certainly not entirely, but if people who might not understand all the social media ramifications, you know, of what could happen and how quickly it could happen. It's interesting because this ties in a little bit to, you know, we asked another question within our survey that relates to term limits, you know, and age limits and things like that. And it's very interesting that most board members who responded say there's really nothing in place to address some of those issues. And I think some of that ties back to this question that you just asked, that, you know, you really need to be up on things that are happening, up on things that are changing, up on all those things to make sure that you could properly help the company you know, address risks and think about things as they occur.
What recommendations are informed by the survey? Do companies need to reassess who manages risk? Do boards need to take a greater leadership role? How can an operational audit or heat map be useful, and what would that entail?
You know, a heat map in my mind is really a great tool. It really is just something that boards or companies use to understand where the risks are. And it's really a full assessment of the entire company to understand where the risks are, and it changes. It's a changing, living, breathing document because, you know, risks change as companies go through their life cycle, and it could really be from anywhere. And it's a great kind of enterprise risk management tool to use to really understand all the risks to start thinking about plans to address those risks. Operational audit, I mentioned just before with the internal audit function. That's, you know, the internal audit function can be used for financial statement risks and make sure that the controls are in place around the production of the financial statements. And that's really important, especially for public companies who are constantly reporting to the market. But to use that same team or use that same function, either outsourced or within the company, to address operational issues, to me is such an important tool that companies could use that they need to use more.
You've been listening to Stephen Kreit, a partner with accounting firm Eisner Amper, about the firm's annual Concerns About Risk Confronting Corporate Boards survey. This is Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening.